Manchester City ahead. And Kelly to line this one up. Oh! She has hit an absolute beauty in true Chloe Kelly style.
Shaw in the penalty area awaiting, and sets it in, Ward sees it home. Made a good run, flags it down, shot again. Another dangerous delivery that delivers another goal for Manchester City. And once again, it's Bonnie Shaw.
Hello and welcome back to MCW Fancast. I'm Emma, thanks for listening. It's great to be back and we're glad you're here with us as we welcome a special guest to the podcast this week. Dan Pentland, Chief Editor and Journalist from WSL Full Time. Dan joins myself and Dave as we discuss our recent trip to Tottenham Hotspur in the Women's Super League and preview Leicester City as we return to the Joy Stadium this Sunday. We discuss all the latest news coming out of the club and have a great chat with Dan about the future of the women's game under Nuno and his thoughts on City's season so far. Let's get into it. This week I'm joined by Dan and Dave. Dan, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks, Emma.
Nice to have you back on the podcast. How's things?
Yeah, good. Good to be here. Good to be back.
Well, thanks for joining us. Dave, how are you doing?
Hi, Emma. Yeah, fine, thank you. Another good week at the weekend, so very happy.
Yeah, let's just get straight into that then with obviously the win away to Tottenham at the weekend, 2-0 in the end. What did you make of the game, Dave?
I thought it was a good performance, to be fair. We controlled it from the first minute. I thought we were always in control of the game. We always looked the better team. Getting the early goal obviously helped settle us down as well. And I think, you know, second half, I didn't think we were in too much danger. I still think we had total control of the game. Once we got the second goal, I thought it was unlikely we were going to lose that grip on the game. And it was important. I mean, it wasn't the most, you know, outstanding performance we're ever going to see from the team, but it was a really big, important week last week because we had two big league games and a big cup game, one after the other. So, you know, to come through them all and win all three, I'm over the moon with that. The team have done really well.
Yeah, and obviously we had a really good early opportunity with that free kick with Alex Greenwood, and it was to be fair to Tottenham, what a save that was. I mean, it looked like it was going in, but it was met really perfectly well by the keeper as well.
Yeah, it was a good. Yeah, we were right behind that, so we got a really good angle on that. She hit it really well. It was definitely going in, so it was a great save. But you know, we just kept plugging away and creating chances, and you felt that, you know, the way we were playing, that chances would come and eventually we'd get goals. I know the first goal was an own goal, but you know, you take whatever you can, and we deserved the win. I was really happy with it, and we'll be going back again soon, won't we, in the cup, so same again to do me.
I know. So let's talk about the draw then, because obviously last week we were kind of saying, well, I did exactly what I said I was going to do. I was just going to wait until it went online. And obviously we've drew, like you say, to Tottenham away. Now, we were hoping for the home draw. That obviously didn't prevail, but Tottenham away, how do you feel about that as a way of progressing in the cup?
Well, we would have wanted a home draw, obviously, like we said last week. As away draws go, it could have been worse. You know, in theory, you'd rather play Tottenham away than you would play Arsenal or Chelsea because those two are higher in the league. So, could have been worse. We're not surprised. Like I was joking to you before we started today, I'm going to have a Cockney accent in a couple of weeks. I'm down there that often. So, you know, we're not surprised we're away. But, yeah, it's a game we can win, without a doubt. And then we can keep everything crossed if we get through for the home draw in the semi-final, can't we?
And Dan, obviously looking at the Conti Cup, there's been a little bit of controversial about that this week. Obviously, from the journalist side of things, I suppose you've had a bit of a headache dealing with that.
Yeah, I think we all thought Villa might have been thrown out, but you know, obviously they've applied the rule. I think that's the key. They've applied the rule, whatever the rule was, and they obviously lost points. Sunderland got the points, so Sunderland won the group, and Villa went through, but. Yeah, I think obviously United feel aggrieved by it, but I think, you know, from what I hear, they've applied the rule as it should have been applied. So, you know, it is what it is, and we move on to the quarterfinals.
Dave, you kind of said like about the kind of afterthought with the Conti Cup, it always seems as though it's kind of overlooked a little bit in terms of the competition, and you know, perhaps there are ways that, you know, the competition and overall could be improved. I mean, what do you think about that, Dan? Have you got any sort of ideas? I think we have actually spoken about this before.
Yeah, I was trying to jot figures down before, to be honest, to work out how you could balance it. But yeah, it needs a look at it. I think it's obviously it's a bit outdated. We've used the same format for a few years now, which doesn't seem to work. You've obviously got the European teams coming in later on, which isn't particularly fair neither. You know, maybe we need to look at the Championship teams playing it out in the first couple of rounds to then potentially draw a Super League team in round three and have it knockouts. I know that the Championship want more games potentially, so you know, maybe you do something a little bit like the AFL Trophy for them, and you know, maybe after Christmas when you see more young players going out on, you know, like dual registration moves and that sort of thing, have like a development cup or something like that on the side where you could do groups and that sort of thing for them and try and promote X amount of, you know, young players to play in it and just keep the League Cup as a knockout maybe. But yeah, I don't think the Super League clubs probably want the group games, if I'm honest. It's probably more for like youth development rather than, you know, the will of wanting to play three or four extra games in an early round of a competition early in the season. Yeah, so for me, I think, and how on earth you do it, I don't know, but, you know, maybe have the Championship playing knockouts, you know, round one and two, and then they've got a chance of getting a decent draw of a Super League team in round three. And just go knockouts. And as I say, if you wanted more games on a development basis or something like that, you could look at a third competition or something like that. But yeah, it needs a look at it without a doubt because it's gone stale. I don't think it's pretty, you know, very good value for the sponsors who obviously put money into the competition. And yeah, I think it obviously doesn't get the recognition either until you get to the quarterfinals, semi-finals. You know, a lot of fans probably don't even know that the games are going on. So, yeah, I think somebody needs to get around the table and, you know, discuss what's going to happen for it in the future.
I mean, over time, it's improved as a competition, as a spectacle. But I think it's always been one for me that hasn't been all that well covered. You know, I mean, it is now, but, you know, we've had to fight a little bit for that and make a bit of a stink about it in terms of coverage for games, Dave. I mean, you know, even a couple of seasons ago, you know, we were lucky if we could even find any kind of coverage around the County Cup.
Yeah, no, you're right, Emma. From a fan, purely from a fan's point of view, this is my view that we hear time and again. Dan's right what he says there, it's gone a bit stale. You tend to get pretty much the same groups every year because they're regionalised. So you're devaluing the fixtures like the Manchester Derby and the Merseyside Derby. They're getting a little bit devalued if you have too many of them every season. You know, I feel that's a bit of a problem in the Scottish game, and I think the County Cup equates to that. I'd like to see it more of a knockout. Possibly maybe put the Championship sides all at home, give them a payday, you know, in a round to play the WSL side, something like that. It's not easy. There's not an easy-fits-all solution, I grant you that, but I do think it needs looking at. I used the word, when I wrote to you about it, Emma, afterthought, because it's not the first time. The shambles last week, it's not the first time we, as City fans, we've experienced it where they've moved games. They moved the quarterfinal at Arsenal once with 2 days' notice, an away game at Arsenal a few years ago, and everyone, you know, we booked a coach and everything, it all had to be changed. And there doesn't seem to be any planning ahead of it. It's just, oh, get it in. And that comes under the coverage side of things that you were saying, Emma. We're lucky at City because we've got something like City TV on our website and they'll cover a lot of the games, but a lot of fans and clubs haven't got that. You know, and you might get one game on the FA player sort of thing, but then that's it. So there needs to be a whole revamp of the situation, I think, both the coverage. I'm surprised that Continental still sponsor it, to be honest with you, the way it's gone down. You're right when you say the latter stages get quite a good coverage now, and I think the final's now live on telly, which it didn't used to be, so that's an improvement. Maybe the semi-finals are, I'm not sure. You know, but it definitely just needs tinkering. It can be sorted. I think the Men's League Cup in its very early stages back in the midst of time went through similar things. And now that's quite a prestigious cup, the Men's League Cup. You know, big teams want to win it and be in it. So, you know, with the right management, it can still be a prestigious tournament and certainly one that teams want to win.
I was just going to go and jump in there about the final as well, because obviously you felt the pain that for a number of years it was played in the South. And there's this thing as well that I think the FA have certain grounds that they seem to play, you know, England games at or finals. You know, it's usually Wolves, Milton Keynes, Brighton, you know, Southampton's another one that they use a lot. And, you know, from a fan point of view, you know, you'd want your fair share of Northern games or Midland games for a final, but also spread of stadiums as well. You know, how many times have we been to, I mean, it's better for you guys this year in terms of it being at Wolverhampton, but, you know, how many times have we used that for an England game or, you know, for a cup game? It just feels like as well, you know, it gets a bit samey. It feels like you need a fair draw in terms of where you're going to play the final, but also maybe spread it about a bit.
There's Adams Park, we went Wimbledon one year, you know, and you're right, you know, it's great that obviously we can utilise Stadia and everything. Tablet is a bit of a spectacle, a bit of a showpiece game, but it just needs a complete overhaul, you know, in terms of maybe the way it's, I don't know, like even sort of like the sponsorship side of it and everything like that, it's like you say, it's just stagnant and it just needs refreshing. But then obviously, again, it kind of moves and transcends onto sort of questions around the leagues itself in terms of expansion. And obviously there's been a lot about that in the last couple of weeks, that obviously the FA have said that there is no plans to expand, you know, next season or maybe even beyond. I mean, I don't know sort of what you've heard about that, Dan.
Yeah, I haven't heard a lot, to be honest. I'm still in the thought I'd like the Super League to grow. I know that obviously Bristol are finding it tough this year, but they've been competitive, to be fair on them. You know, and it's only gonna get better if you put more teams in it. So, you know, you might bring two more up, you know, in a couple of years' time or, you know, whatever. But, you know, they're still gonna have to, regardless of if it's one team, two teams, three teams, they're still gonna have to bed into the league and, you know, try and make a fist of it first year, survive, and then, you know, grow from there. It doesn't matter how many teams come up, they've still got the same conundrum that they've got to get a lot of international players in and, you know, try and kind of acclimatise to the league. But, I mean, it must get frustrating, you know, from a City point of view that you're playing the same teams home and away all the time, you know. And surely when we're looking at the Conti Cup and we're looking at groups and, you know, the fact that you're playing championship teams and you might win 5-6-0, surely it'd be better making that into a knockout and making the league bigger. And you've got 14, you know, you've got 14 teams and you're playing 26 game season rather than, you know, the small season against the same 11 opponents that you've got now. But yeah, I haven't heard anything about a change, but I know for a while I've kind of said, you know, if there's teams in the championship that want to invest, give them the opportunity to try and get into the Super League and show what they can do.
I mean, even Emma Hayes has called out, you know, for, you know, changes to be made. And though they've said that there won't be anything for the 24-25 season, the Conti Cup will still remain. But beyond that, obviously, we don't know kind of like what the future looks like for the WSL, for the Championship. But it's almost as if, for whatever reason, they're just holding back on it, because it's almost as, you know, a lot of people say that that's kind of what needs to happen in terms for it to organically grow.
Yeah, it's the whole growth thing's interesting, because you've obviously got the teams at the top who are growing quite quick. Obviously, Arsenal are the ones right up there who are just growing 100 mile an hour. But, you know, like what's the plan for the rest of the league? What's the plan for the Championship? What's the plan that's then going to filter down into the National League? You know, it feels like there is growth. It's possibly slowing a little bit after the Euros, I think, across the board. But, you know, what's the full picture? We need to look at, you know, the whole package, really. You know, what are Arsenal doing well to get so many fans in every single time they play at the Emirates? I think even the Leicester game, they've sold about 10,000 tickets already for that. And, you know, it's one of the kind of smaller profile opponents that they're playing there. So, you know, we need to look at that. We need to look at what fans want, what clubs want. You know, what are people investing? You know, do people invest in potentially playing bigger leagues? The whole thing just needs looking at, and I hope that when new co come in, they look at the full picture and they look at the facts, and, you know, they just don't kind of just chase kind of the pipe dream. You know, they look at it as an entire product. But yeah, there's lots of work to be done, and I think we've just scratched the surface. We've obviously seen the growth after the Euros, but I don't think we're there yet. I think there's a lot more work to be done.
Yeah, definitely. What do you think, Dave?
I can only really echo what Dan's saying there. Hopefully, you know, they will look at the whole picture, make some informed changes that I think are needed. I like Dan's idea definitely of we've said it many times on the podcast, we're both on as well, to increasing the league size maybe to 14, giving them more games, and maybe having two up, two down, or one up in a playoff situation to inspire these teams that want to invest, or that can invest in the Championship, that they can get into the WSL. I'm sure there are teams, you know, down there, you know, we see Newcastle investing. I see Sunderland are back near the top of the Championship now this season as well. Bristol, who came up, as Dan rightly said, have been competitive. They are bottom of the WSL. They're not caught adrift by any stretch of the imagination. So, you know, the gap's closing there. So you want to make it a more viable league. And I think more fixtures there, it ties into what we've said about the Continental Cup. You could change that to a straight knockout to level out the playing field in terms of fixtures, but you've got more league fixtures. You know, and then, you know, hopefully you could then also increase the size of the Championship as well, with teams coming up from the national leagues. So most of what Dan says there makes sense to me. And I just hope that's what this new co-company, when they do take over, look at. Because we want to, you want to harness the growth of the game. You want it to grow naturally, and you want it to be a natural product. But you also want it to be a competitive product. And since the Euros, obviously, things have gone up and the crowds are great. I mean, Bristol themselves have been getting great crowds in the WSL at Ashton Gate. So that was a good decision they made to play all their games there. So there's definitely interest there. So harness it and let's see a natural growth of the game.
I mean, if you look at the top of the Championship, what have you got? You've got about a five-horse race for promotion. You know, obviously, Southampton have invested a lot. You know, if the competition wasn't there, you'd have one or two teams at the top and the rest of the clubs would be miles behind. You know, it is competitive up there. There are teams who are absolutely desperate to get into the Super League. And the frustration is that, you know, if you're a mid-table team in the Championship, you're playing for one promotion place. So if you get a bad start, that's it. The season's over. You're not playing for a playoff position. You know what I mean? It takes the sting out of that competition, which is a great league. But, you know, it almost devalues the league that you're playing for one promotion place. I agree with you, Dave, about a playoff. I can understand the uncertainty from the Super League to say, well, you know, two up, two down. If we've got, you know, big clubs, we don't want them to get relegated. Well, you know, fair enough, one down, and then the other one's got to play, you know, maybe in the Championship, second to fourth playing playoffs, and then the winner of that then plays a relegation decider with the second bottom team, the Super League or something like that, and they've got that safety net there. But yeah, that definitely needs looking at. I feel like there's a real kind of objection against it from the Super League clubs. I don't think they want two down, but you know, you've got, as I say, this season you've got five teams there. I think four of them are full time, one of them's hybrid, moving towards full time. So you know that the clubs are there. And they want promotion, they want the stab at it. So that surely they deserve the opportunity to get promoted or at least fight for promotion, you know, rather than just playing for this one promotion slot.
I think I can see why they don't want two down at the moment. But I think if you had 14 teams in the WSL, I think one automatic relegation and then the second bottom, as you say, playing off maybe against second top or the winner of a little tournament, a playoff system. Because the playoff system wasn't very popular when it was first brought in the men's game in the late 80s. And now it's a massive money spinning. So you could have a two-leg tie maybe or something like that. But I think for it to be acceptable to the league, I would think you'd have to increase the size of the WSL, wouldn't you? So it was 14 teams in it, say, and then you could have two up, two down.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think the one thing which kind of worries me a little bit is the financial side. You know, if you had Charlton, for example, you know, what's that, a League One men's budget, obviously balancing the women's team, it makes it a little bit, you know, you don't know how competitive they're going to be able to be coming into the Super League. And what if the men stay in League One for another two or three years? Are we going to have another kind of Reading situation on our hands? And, you know, same with Sunderland, they've obviously had good and bad times. You know, again, if obviously some of the women's clubs are still far too dependent on the men's side. So, you know, I think that's the concern. But surely, you know, if they're investing, they're building full-time squads, they've got to be given at least a chance, you know, even if it is only for a season or, you know, as I say, a promotion relegation playoff that, you know, then maybe won't be successful in the long run. But, you know, that they've got to have a chance there to at least be able to represent themselves in the top tier.
And when it comes down to it, though, do you think there's going to be a club consultation with all the clubs from both WSL, Championship, and even lower league?
Yeah, I don't know exactly how it works at the minute, but I get the feeling that obviously I think the Championship and the Super League probably differ on opinion quite a lot. I think we saw it obviously with the whole kind of the share and, you know, that sort of thing when they were voting on that new core proposal. I think you got the Super League clubs who wanted what was being offered and the Championship maybe wanted more of a hand in it. Possibly the same when they decide, when they were fighting over the National League promotion as well. I think the Championship obviously quite rightly only wanted to risk one relegation spot, whereas the National League wanted one up from each league. So, you know, someone's got to bite the bullet. There's got to be a middle ground between the two. But as I say, there's probably ways and means where you can say, well, you know what, the Super League clubs can have an advantage in this area, like a relegation playoff. If you want to stay up, then prove it.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be very interesting anyway, these next couple of years, just to see how it unfolds, really, because I think a lot of us will be wanting to see, I think, inevitably changes, really, to the format.
I think the whole growth thing, I think the brakes have kind of been put on. I don't know whether that's, you know, because of the whole new core thing and waiting for them to come in and get hold of the leagues and, you know, everything that goes with that. But, you know, at some point, somebody's got to take the bull by the horns and say, right, we're going to go for it this year. We're going to make the leagues bigger. You know, we're going to look at the structure of both leagues. We're going to look at how that's going to work for the National League and see if we can expand that, see if we can start pushing teams to be full-time in that level or, you know, moving on to hybrid models, that sort of thing. Can there be, you know, is there a way that they can work where they can start to become a little bit more self-sufficient? But yeah, somebody just needs to take a bit of a risk, but it obviously needs to be calculated. But, you know, it feels like we're sitting on this for a little bit too long. There doesn't seem to be a lot of movement. But as I say, I hope that now new core coming in, we might begin to see a little bit of development.
Let's move on to City then and what you've kind of made of their season so far, because obviously we've kind of surpassed that halfway point now, and City obviously second in the table in a relatively good position given the start of the season. Perhaps City were probably a little bit overlooked in terms of where they thought they might be come that halfway point. So obviously Chelsea, top of the league, Arsenal joint on points with City. So in terms of that title race, it's looking like a three-way race. But what have you made of City's season so far, Dan?
I think they've been solid. I think they've been really, really solid. I think obviously they got done in that Chelsea game, you know, which if they'd have won that and deserved to win that, by the way, as well. But, you know, what the position would probably be different and, you know, we'd probably be talking about it a little bit different in terms of where they stood in the title race. But I think the settled side's definitely helped. I think you've had the continuity throughout the year, without a doubt. Gareth's touched on this recently, but I think the way that they win games and the way that they control games has been phenomenal. It's something that I don't think we've seen a lot of in the Super League, to be honest. I mean, you know, even if you look at, you know, since Christmas, that Durham game after Christmas, you know, I've seen Super League teams go up there and make a right mess of games when they play them. They don't settle on the pitch, they don't manage the game properly. You know, when City went there, the game was, you know, they're in full control from, what was it, the seventh minute they scored the first goal, and Durham never, ever, ever got the opportunity to put any kind of identity on that. The following week against Liverpool, difficult conditions, a team who'd won, you know, they'd won at United, they'd won at Arsenal. Again, City managed that game in the right way to be able to go and win it 5-1. And again, Liverpool weren't allowed to be themselves for, you know, the slightest minute of that game. And, you know, obviously the derby again, difficult occasion. City needed to win the game to make sure that they went through in the cup. Again, they've done what they needed to do to get through that. And then even at Spurs at the weekend, you know, they're playing a very kind of attack-minded team. I think they had two shots on target, Spurs. So again, you know, the dangers they're managing so well. I think the test's obviously going to have to come, that they're going to have to manage their way through the Arsenal, the United and the Chelsea game and, you know, get the right results from that. But I think, you know, they've obviously got a settled side. You know, everybody knows the position in the team. Gareth's got them playing out how he wants them to play. But yeah, for me, you know, the season's about managing so many different challenges, and I just think they've been absolutely brilliant. You know, you can't really fault anything that they're doing on the pitch at the minute.
And we'll end the podcast there. Thank you so much. No, I'm only joking. No, it has been. I mean, obviously for us as fans, week in, week out, watching the performances, it's been really pleasing. And I think it's hard to pinpoint what the actual difference is this season. I you know, it really is. We just seem so cohesive in terms of the squad. But obviously, one of the big players that has really contributed so much to this season was the signing that came in the summer, and that was Jo Rod. And obviously we've learnt this week that she's, you know, will be out for the foreseeable with that ACL injury, and how devastating is that, Dave?
Very. Such a good player, fitted straight in, got the system that we were playing, became an integral part of that system almost straight away. So yeah, we can't hide from it. It's a massive loss without a shadow of a doubt. It does give other players a chance. You know, we've seen like Philippa Angledal, a lot of people could argue that she could have been in the team alongside her anyway. So, you know, a slightly different type of midfielder maybe, but certainly another international class player coming in. But yeah, Jill obviously is a loss, because as you say, Emma, for the first half of the season, it's like she'd been there all, you know, forever. You know, she just slotted straight in. She didn't need time to find her feet or anything. So some really great performances. You think about how well she played at Old Trafford. There's a couple of home games where she was so good. So, you know, it is a loss. But, you know, we have got other players that can step up. I know there's a few transfer rumours in the mill for tomorrow for the deadline day as well. So younger players that have been linked with City today. So maybe Gareth might get a couple of numbers in. But I think the players that are in the team now, that are coming through, like your Angledal, maybe Mary Fowler, we might see a bit more of her on the pitch as well to cover the loss and hopefully no more injuries. And I think the reason this season why we've looked better is because last season was a massively transitional season for City. We've said it many times. There were a lot of ins and outs at the start of last season, and it was a different team. This team now is a year older and a year wiser. They've all played together pretty much for another year, and I think we've reaped the benefits of that. It's a settled squad. It's a happy squad. It's a balanced squad. So I think, you know, like Dan says, we do tend to control games and limit teams. Even the game we lost, if you remember the game we lost at home to Brighton, how we lost that game, I don't know, because we had 35 shots on goal. You know, we didn't actually play that bad that day. We didn't put the ball in the net. So, you know, overall, the level of performance has been very, very high. And it'll need to stay high if we're going to challenge for the title, because as Dan rightly says, we've still got to go to Chelsea. We've still got United and Arsenal at home. Those games could prove pivotal. So I'm looking forward to it, but it's been great to watch this season. It's been really good to see the team so gelled and so good.
It's good as well to see Gareth utilise that squad depth as well, because what we have seen, Dan, is Gareth obviously bringing players in and actually managing players' minutes as well.
Yeah, I think he's done well. I think it's obviously a big year for Gareth, but I don't think, I mean, you know, people have opinions on him, but I think he should be given time. Obviously, it's a big year as far as the league goes next year as well, because obviously you haven't got Emma Hayes at Chelsea. What's that going to look like? Is that going to open the door for another team's dominance? You know, we've seen it in the men's game in the past. I think he's proved himself as a really good coach this year, Gareth. I really do. I think he's got the players playing out the skin. I think everybody knows the role in that team. I think in the position they're at now, they're probably like a little bit more depth just in case they've got one or two injuries, you know, particularly in attacking positions maybe. But he's a cool customer. He doesn't panic. I think, you know, I'm not expecting anything over excitable from Gareth tomorrow in the transfer window, I wouldn't have thought. But I think, as we've seen with this window in the past, he'll bring players in. You know, you might not see a lot of them this year, but I think come next year, season after, they're probably going to be ones to watch in the team. You know, that they seem to, this window in particular, they seem to plan ahead really well. Obviously, Rode is a big loss. Blackstad as well, I understand her reasons for going, but, you know, she'd have been good with kind of her versatility. But, you know, I can't kind of complain with what I've seen from City this year. You know, Chelsea have obviously been the dominant force, and, you know, you're only, 3 points behind, you know, still in the cups. You know, you can't really fault what they've done. You know, the dominating games, are not conceding a lot of goals. They're probably conceding less goals now than what they were in the second half of last season, which probably did them a little bit in the battle for Europe. I think it's just a thing of kind of riding these times, enjoy the ride, see where City go this season. And, you know, I think the future is definitely very bright.
Yeah. And in terms of goals scored as well, I mean, that was something City really did struggle with last season. But obviously, Bunny's on fire and really delivering. You know, even if you look at it as a front three with like Chloe, Kemp, I mean, front four, if you know, to a point, include Jill in that. But overall, it's good to see, you know, players contributing, you know, across the pitch as well. I think we're on the same number of goals scored with Arsenal. So, you know, for us, obviously, we were way off last season. You know, if you know we're on points, and if it came down to goal difference, we were way behind. So the fact that we, you know, we're scoring goals, you know, we're up there, we're delivering, is something to be really pleased about, Dave.
It is, yeah. You know, like you say, Bunny's got the majority of the goals, but the rest of the team have chipped in. I think Jill had 11, and I think Chloe and Laura are around the same numbers as well. So it's right across the board that chipped in. Or Laura Coombs has chipped in with quite a few goals as well. So the goal scoring is top quality. It's up there. I think Chiara's on the lowest, you know, got the most clean sheets at the moment in the WSL as well. So the defending side of things is improvement. So you are seeing improvements across the board within the team. There's no two ways about it. And I agree with Dan completely. I think Gareth's had a great season. I think he's called things right this season. I think the team looks right up there. And let's not beat around the bush. We are in the title race. Chelsea are an excellent side, really good side, and they're motivated because they want to win it this season, with it being Emma Hayes' last season. And we're only 3 points behind them, and we've still got to play them. So there's no two ways about it. We are in the title race, and that's a good place to be at this point of the season, basically halfway. When we've had to, I mean, I think the difference this season as well, we've not just struggled to win games. You know, when we at home, some home games, we put 5 past Liverpool, we put 7 past Spurs at home. So those games could make the difference. They certainly make the difference with goal difference, don't they? So rather than winning 2-1, 1-0 maybe last season, you know, 7-0 or 5-1s. So it's really positive. And if we don't quite, I think at the start of the season, we weren't thinking we'd win the league. So if we push for the title and we're in the title race towards the end, I think that's an achievement in itself. You never know what could happen. And there's certainly no reason why we can't go for both these cups, even though all the games will be away from home.
Yeah, just get that in there. Yeah, but if we win, Dave, we deserve to win, don't we, really? Let's be honest.
Of course we do. Yeah, of course we do, yeah.
I mean, it is really exciting at the moment. But in terms of opposition, Dan, obviously Chelsea, like you say, Emma Hayes, it's her last season in charge at Chelsea. She's, you know, left a legacy at Chelsea, and they'll be looking to secure some silverware this season. And they are probably the biggest competition in terms of looking at that league overall. In a couple of weeks, we'll obviously away to them at Kings Meadow. How is that game now looking in terms of a head-to-head, Dan?
I mean, you've got to stay in it. I mean, ideally, you'd like to go there and win the game, but at least if you don't lose the game, and you keep things level in the other games and don't drop any silly points, then come the final day of the season, at the absolute worst, you're going to still be in it. So I think, you know, it is a difficult place to go. I think obviously it's on TV. It'll be a huge occasion. I think ideally you need to go there and win it if you can. But if you can't, don't let them impose themselves on the game. Get a draw. Keep yourselves in it. And, you know, as you say, when you played Brighton, it was your off day where it didn't go in the net. It's not to say that Chelsea aren't going to go and play somebody similar, and the same's going to happen to them. I think, you know, the important thing is if you can keep the pressure on. Obviously, they're through in the Champions League, so they've got extra games in that as well. Keep the pressure on, and, you know, you might have to ride your luck a little bit, but given what happened in the reverse game, you'd probably argue with you a little bit of luck. I look at the Chelsea games, what they've got left, and, you know, I'm not sure where they're going to drop. They've obviously got Arsenal at home. They've got United on the last day, which could be interesting if you're still in the title race, and, you know, they're going up to Old Trafford, of course. They've got to go to Liverpool. That could be quite a difficult one. Tottenham as well. I think you've just got to keep chipping away, concentrate on yourself. Obviously, don't get beat in that game, because that could open it up and, you know, leave you playing real catch-up after that. And yeah, just don't focus on Chelsea too much. If they drop points, they drop points. But you've just got to do everything you possibly can to try and do things right on your side.
I mean, I don't know how you look at it, Dave, because I almost feel as though there's no pressure on City here at this moment in time. But there's a belief within the team, within the fan base.
Yeah, it's growing this season. Like I said, start of the season, I think the pressure on City start of the season, from my point of view, was we need to at least be in the top three. We need to challenge if we can, and we need to, you know, challenge in the cups. Well, we're doing all three of those. So as you say, Emma, that pressure's then lifted because we are doing those things. So then it would start, you know, then you've got to manage a bit. It comes after that happens. It's managing expectation. And like Dan says, you don't want to look too far ahead, or what happens if Chelsea win this game or lose that game and we don't beat those. Let's do it. It's the old cliche. Let's focus. Before we go to Chelsea, we've got Leicester at home on Sunday. So let's focus on that. Make sure we win. We can't afford any slip-ups, that's for sure. Now, you know, for instance, Leicester in the Conte Cup, we didn't beat them at home. It was a draw. We lost on the pen. So we've got to focus on Sunday, first of all, before we start worrying about Chelsea. And I know it is an old cliche, worry about your next game, you know, one game at a time. But I think we're in that position now. You know, and just make sure we don't slip up anywhere else. And then we can go to Chelsea and get a result. Of course we can, because we're on a good side. And, you know, we played well. We should have beat Chelsea at home. We've won at King's Meadow in the past, so it's not like it's impossible we can do that, but we know we're going to have to go there and play our very, very best game. Yeah. And I don't think we're under any illusions of that. So it's just managing expectations as well. Just staying calm, keep doing what we're doing, keep doing, you know, playing like we're playing, and we'll certainly be in with a shout. That's my theory.
I think when you're looking at measuring progress as well, you know, this season, you're what, 7 points clear of dropping out the European places? Like, I know things haven't gone to plan at the other side of the city, and, you know, there's a bit of uproar there. But at the end of the day, you know, you've got a 7-point cushion with 10 games to go, you know, to get back in Europe somewhere where you've wanted to be, which has been one of the main targets other than the league title. You know, if ever there's a kind of a marker of how much you've kicked on and how kind of comfortable you are in respect to that position, you know, you should now get Europe. And, you know, that was one of the things that needed a massive tick, I think, this year.
Yeah. And I think that was an expectation on Gareth as well, because I think it was a massive disappointment for everyone that, you know, we weren't able to qualify for Champions League in the first place, you know, and we didn't achieve that top three finish. So, you know, that was disappointing. You know, as a club, City, you know, want to be playing in Europe. You kind of take it for granted because we've almost achieved that, you know, for many a season, you know, and to have that taken away was really disappointing. So, yeah, as a minimum, I think that would have been one of Gareth's achievements for him this season, you know. And I think, obviously, with him being put on a one-year contract, there's obviously conversations to be had around the sort of expectations that City wanted Gareth to deliver. In order for him to negotiate that new contract at the end of the season, Dave?
Yeah, I think it was the bare minimum, Emma. I think European qualification, bare minimum. Hopefully with, you know, a challenge for the title and a challenge in the cups. And like I say, we're only halfway through. Job's not done yet. But at the moment, we're in the position that we're doing those things. He's ticking those boxes. The team is definitely playing a higher standard of football than last season. So for me, we're on target for a successful season. I'm not going to say how successful, because obviously that's for someone else to judge. But I'm sure Gareth was aware of the targets that the club expect before the ball was kicked. And at the moment, I feel we're on target to tick those boxes. So, you know, and I'm pleased with the progression that the team's shown this season.
Let's look to Sunday then, and Leicester. Back at the Joy Stadium. Dan, what have you made of Leicester's season so far, obviously, under Willie Kirk?
I mean, they had a flying start, didn't they? They really, really did. Got points from most of their opening games, and then, you know, I think they went 8 or 9 games without a win in the league. So, you know, maybe they got found out a little bit. Maybe, I don't think Willie would have kind of allowed them to get ahead of themselves. But, yeah, they hit a stumbling block. Obviously, the probably quite early on in the journey under Willie Kirk. Obviously, he's only been in charge, what, a little over a year now. Brought a new squad in, you know, in that time as well. So they're very, very early in the journey. They've obviously overachieved probably at the start of the season, went on a bad run, and then obviously they got that win on Sunday. It was a 1-0. It was probably not a classic, but what you would say from the stats is they created more than Everton did in that game. I think they didn't allow Everton to have a shot on target in the entire game. And, you know, I think they created 7-8 chances themselves. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see how they react to that win. It'll obviously bring a little bit more confidence to them. We know on the day they've got some tidy footballers in there. They'll probably try and go and attack, you know, which might work in City's favour, it might not. But as you've seen the County Cup, they can be a strong opponent. And, you know, I think all those teams at the top of the table are going to have one or two games towards the end of the season where you kind of think they're dangerous, that, you know, some of those games points are going to be dropped. And this probably falls into that category.
Dave, how are you feeling about this one?
Well, I've seen Leicester twice this season, like the full 90 minutes, both times against City. And they played very well both times, to be honest with you. The game at the King Power, we scored early through almost like a goalkeeping mistake. And although we should have added to that, as the game went on, Leicester created quite a lot of chances that day. And we're a little bit unlucky not to get something out of it by the night, you know, after 90 minutes. He certainly played well that day, Leicester. And then the County Cup, the first half, they gave us a bit of a runaround. We're 2-0 at half time, I think. And, you know, eventually we got it back to 2-2 and lost it on penalties. So the two times I've seen Leicester, I've seen them be a very competent side. So I'm not taking anything for granted on Sunday. I think we've got to turn up and we've got to play our best game. They've got a decent manager who's been around the block. He knows this league. He knows the players. He knows what he's doing. So they'll be set up. As Dan says, they've gone to Everton. You know, so they're not. I don't think Leicester are in any danger this season of going down. I think Leicester will stay up. So that might allow them to play a little bit more free than if they were in the bottom two or three and struggling. So, yeah, I just think we need to approach it, like I said before, it's our next game. It's crucial because every league game for us is crucial, every 3 points. Our home record's very good. So I'm confident we can beat them and we can get the 3 points. But I don't think it'll be a walk in the park. I think we'll have to turn up and play our A game because Leicester have proved to be difficult opponents this season to a number of teams. I'm looking forward to it. It should be a good game.
I wouldn't say I'm looking forward to it. But obviously, it's good to be back home. But Leicester, yeah, just because of obviously the tie at the joy earlier in the season in the County Cup, I'm just a little bit on the fence about it. On about it, yeah. But yeah, we should be able to get the 3 points. You know, on recent performances, recent form, I think it's 9 unbeaten now across all competitions, which is really good momentum going into this one, Dan, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And you've kind of beaten teams, you know, that play probably a little bit similar to Leicester on that kind of counter attack. You know, recently, you know, you look at the likes of Liverpool and Spurs as well. You know, they've been tricky games in their own merit, but, you know, the way that you manage them, you've kind of got yourselves into the game early, even against Liverpool. You know, you find yourselves a goal down and you quickly kind of correct that and get yourselves back on the right track. So, yeah, I think all the signs are saying that you can take them on and, you know, set your stall out very well very early on Sunday. But, yeah, it's a tricky old game, but I think, you know, from what you're showing in terms of game management, I think you're more than capable of, you know, getting them kind of pinned down and getting the result, you know, nailed, you know, without having to hang on.
Yeah, I hope so too. Prediction-wise, what are you expecting from this one, Dave?
I'd like to think we'll keep a clean sheet, so I'll go 3-0. Like a comfortable win, but I don't think it'll be like a walk in the park or anything, so I'll say 3-0.
Yeah, what about you, Dan?
I'd probably agree, maybe 3 or 4-0. Yeah, Leicester have got a goal in them, but I think the way that City are playing at the minute, I think the, you know, a decent win with a clean sheet isn't beyond them.
Definitely. I have to agree. I was going to say 3-0 as well, to be fair. So does that mean we're all putting a wee bet on it the weekend?
Yeah.
I think we should just touch upon the news as well. Earlier this week, it was announced that Dania Castellanos has left the club for the Bay. How would you summarise her time at the club, Dave?
Well, I'm sure most fans would think quite frustrating because you could quite clearly see Dania was a class player and a class act. but never really came off so much for City, has it? It's not really, she's been in and out of the team almost when she arrived, and we've seen little flashes here and there, but nothing, no consistent level of performance. Some players come from other leagues and take a while to find their feet and settle, and some, you know, never do. And I think I'll have to put Dana in that category, because I'm not sure she was ever fully comfortable in either City's setup or in this league, which is a shame, because like I say, you quite clearly see she's a quality player. You see flashes and touches from her, and some of the goals she did score, you know, were really good and well taken goals of class. But obviously, the club and her have decided it's time to part ways, and you know, we wish her well. And it'd be interesting to see how she fares over there. I know she's a massive star in her home country, isn't she, and everything. So, you know, look, we wish her well and thank her for her time at the club and everything. But it didn't quite work out from you know, in my point of view. Not sure how you feel, guys.
I would have to agree, to be honest. I was not disappointed. I think, like you say, when you look at it from a player's perspective, I think she'll have been disappointed that she didn't have enough opportunity to probably show what she was capable of. But in, you know, the team that we've got, it's really, really hard when you're fighting for places to obviously work your way into the team, into the starting 11. And I think, in just in terms of her quality as a player, it just, she perhaps wasn't getting as much game time as what she thought she might. And like you say, I just didn't feel that she offered us enough to keep at it. And I think it was the right move for her and the right move for the club as well. I don't know what you think, Dan.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I spoke to her quite early on when she'd just signed for the club, and her English was okay. It wasn't brilliant. I know when we talk about players coming from other leagues and maybe not always settling, you know, particularly rest of the world players, I think players from that part of the world, some of them do really, really well and others really, really struggle with the culture. I think obviously when she went to Atletico Madrid, you know, there's maybe some more similarities there from when she was back home in Venezuela. Obviously, you know, cold, wet Manchester might be completely different for her. But
I'll tell it to everyone, Dan.
But, you know, I think the football inside, it's obviously a very competitive area of the pitch. And, you know, it is so hard to nail down a position. But, you know, I just think culture-wise as well, you get some of those players, and we'll probably see it with some of the Colombian players who are coming over, and, you know, the other South American players that we're going to see in the coming years. I think, you know, you've seen it in the men's game as well. Some of them settle really well. You know, Argentinians is, I know we haven't got any over here in the women's game yet, but we've seen it in the men's game where some of them settle, but not many. You know, so yeah, I think there's probably a bit of a kind of a cultural thing in there as well. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, back over in America, obviously near where she's from, I'm sure she'll go there and, you know, she'll find a best fit again.
And like you say, Dave, I'll just echo what you said. You know, we'd like to thank you for her time and wish you all the best at our Onward Club.
Certainly, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. You've done well and got some happy memories, and we do wish her well. Same with, we spoke about Julie Blackstead last week as well. We understood why she, you know, felt she had to move to play more football for her international career and stuff like that. So we wish her well as well. So, yeah, they've both been important parts of what we've done over the last couple of years, and we wish them really well.
Yeah, definitely. Well, guys, I think that's about it for this week. And Dan, do you want to just update us on what you've been up to with WSL full-time?
Yeah, we're digital these days. You'll see us all over Twitter, WSLFT. Busy all the time, really.
I know.
stuff from every club just about every week, daily in some places. So, yeah, just give us a follow and, yeah, we'll keep you in touch with WSL News.
Dave, what's going on? What we got planned then for these trips to London? What's going on?
Right, well, we've got Spurs. We're waiting to hear from Spurs next week about ticket allocation for this Conti Cup tie, which was drawn yesterday. So we'll know more about that, and we'll release anything that's happening with that through our social media as soon as we know. Obviously, that'll have to be soon because it's going to be played either next Wednesday or Thursday, according to the info. Arsenal, we've got an OSC coach going, which I still think there's some seats available on, but not many. Anyone who wants to come to the Arsenal game, I know the tickets are sold out now, I believe, for the cup tie, but you never know, people might get all of a ticket or a spare ticket here and there. So get in touch with us if you want to sit on the coach. And Chelsea is the Friday night, so unfortunately we're not running a coach to Chelsea. It would have been a Friday, but there's enough of us going down. It's on BBC, isn't it? So, yeah, I'll be speaking with a very strong Cockney accent by 2 weeks today, I would have thought. I was spending a lot of time down there. But, yeah, it's exciting times. Looking forward to all the games. It's just a shame that they're all away and in London. It's a long way for everyone to go to. But, yeah, the Arsenal game should be a great turnout.
February potentially is looking like a very congested big month, though.
It is. It's going to shape our season one way or the other.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to it all the same, though.
Yeah.
Dan, thank you ever so much for your time tonight. It's been great to have you back on, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Definitely. Thanks for having me. Cheers.
See you soon, Dave.
See you, Emma. See you, Dan. Take care.
And that's it for this week. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Special thanks to Dan for joining us. As always, a pleasure to have him on the podcast. We'll see you back at the Joy Stadium on Sunday for a fixture against visitors Leicester City. And we'll be back next week discussing our three new signings that, of course, were announced after this podcast recording. Have a great week, everyone.